we're going to be talking about moving the gospel forward. And we're going to be looking at some of the things that the gospel encountered and the way that it had to move forward. You know, for the pouring of the water, we was talking about how Jesus, he was pleading with the Father. And he said, you know, if there's any other way that this could be done, anything that we could do different, it'd be greatly appreciated, you know. And God said, no, son, that I have this plan, and this is the way it has to be done. This is the way that it will be carried out. And we know that Jesus went along with the Father, and we know that he lived into it, every bit of it. And he done it because he not only loved the Father, the Heavenly Father, his Father, but he loved us so much. He knew and understood that he was dying for our sin. And so we stop and we think about today, folks. I do. I don't know about y'all, but I think about today, and I think about how this world is messed up in so many different directions and so many things, and I think about how it could be versus how it is. Could be a whole lot worse. Could be that we would have to pick up. We would have to move. We would have to leave maybe our home. Maybe we would have to move to another location. And if we were being persecuted and things were as bad as they are here in this scripture that we're fixing to read in Acts 8, then would we be taking the gospel first and foremost to someone else? Would that be first on our mind? Brandon brought my Bible to me this morning, first on his mind, and I'm going to need this, you know. But is it going to be first on our mind when we get forced into making a different move in the way that we live our life? Will we be concerned about the first thing out of the house? Got to be the Bible, folks. It's got to be. No, we'll be looking for grandma's thimble and everybody else's stuff, and we won't be thinking about the Bible. If you stop and you think about how we live our life and the things that we put into perspective and the way that we think. I know once upon a time there, many years ago, I was trying to make the house smell good, and I threw a piece of cedar in the wood stove, and you don't do that, Randy. And it was the end of a Christmas tree, and it wasn't but just a few minutes. We had company, and the guy said, Mike, I don't know, but I would say maybe this stove don't need to be the color that it is. And I was sitting where I couldn't see it, and I turned around, and I said, you are right. It was at the point that it was fixing to melt, and especially the stove pipe was going to fall in the floor. When the first thing we done, we got up and began to pick up a few items. I told Tammy to get us some clothes, and we made a few things out on the front yard. And I look back upon it today, and where was my Bible? Where was my Bible? We put so many things above our Bible. We put so many things above the Lord. And so, in this time of this persecution, as we're going to read about in 8, we're going to see that this all of this was coming and it was happening, and yet the church continued to move. The people continued to listen to the word. The people continued to hear what Philip and Peter and John and the ones Simon and the one preaching had to say. Folks, sometimes when we get caught in a time, in a situation where we don't know what direction to go, we don't want to hear the gospel. We don't want to hear what God's word is. We got other things we got to do. I hadn't really got time for that right now, Mike. I need to get my priorities straightened up in life in general, and then I'll hear the gospel. Let's listen to how the gospel moved forward. It says, 8th chapter. Acts 8, starting with the first verse. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. Now you got to remember where we were last Sunday. We were at Stephen had just died, and Stephen had died more like Christ than anyone that I've heard of or seen before. He said, "Father, just forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." And that's not the exact words, but that's basically what he said. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Now, this is Saul. This is who's going to be Paul here in a few weeks. So this is Saul throwing these people in prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon, had been a sorcerer. Now, he's a dude that puts on magic, if you're wondering what this is all about. He's a magic man. He'd been there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went and was amazed by the signs and the great miracles Philip performed. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on the people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed. Excuse me. "So that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this. For your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon exclaimed, "that these terrible things you've said won't happen to me." After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem. And they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear this story, we see pretty much modern day. I do. I see a lot of modern day right here in what was going on. There was a great wave of persecution. They had killed Stephen. Saul was there. He even said, "This is good with me that Stephen is dead. We're going to stop this gospel from being spread all over the country. We're going to slow it down. We're going to put all of these people in jail. And we're going to stop the good news." Folks, that's what millions of people today would love to do. They would love to put us in jail, stop the good news, shut the churches down, move that direction would suit them wonderfully. But God won't allow it because he is moving forward. We are moving forward. You know, this morning me and Tammy were sitting there drinking a cup of coffee and talking, and we said to each other, as much as we know God has prepared for us a place that we cannot even comprehend it's going to be so wonderful, we desire to stay here because this is all we know. We desire to stay here with our loved ones. When we don't consider what God has prepared for us so much as we do what we have here and what we do not want to give up here on this earth. This is what was going on. These people were being persecuted. And the church, they were trying to do away with the church, trying to, anybody that had any common sense, anybody that was talking about Jesus, they were trying to do away with them. And so we see today that the very same thing. So the church was trying to be destroyed. Today, I would dare say that there could be the same thing at any given place where they would love to shut the church down. If you make the least little mistake, they would love to shut it down. And when COVID came and they could shut them down, they were happier than they could ever be because the churches were just struggling to meet and the people were struggling to hear and get the word. But it said that the people preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. And Philip, he was a good example because he went to Samaria. Now, the kingdom of Israel was divided at that time in kind of three different areas. There was a northern, a middle, and a southern. And Jesus had been to Samaria. We know that. We remember that story. And he had preached the word, and so Philip ends up in Samaria. And so he's telling the people about the Messiah. The crowds were listening intently. They were listening to everything that Philip had to say. And they were eager, they said, eager to hear this message. You know, I think today, folks, people are more eager to hear the Word of God than they have been in years. I know that when I was a kid, people went to church to hear the Word of God, but church was a different thing then than it is now. I think people today are eager to be told about God. They want to know, what has God done for you, Mike? What is God going to do for me? What in the world can I expect from God? Well, I tell you what you can expect. You can expect, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can expect it might not be perfect here on this earth. You may not have a perfect life. You may have troubles. You may have trials. You may be persecuted. But you can know one thing, that He has a place prepared for you that is going to be absolutely beyond anything that you can imagine. To be with Him. To sit at the feet of Jesus each day. Can you imagine that? I can't get it in my head how wonderful it's really going to be when we all get to heaven. It's going to be awesome. But we see that these people were hearing this and they were desiring to hear more. And we know that there was a guy there at Samaria that called Simon, and he was a magic man. And he done magic, and the people looked at him like, well, how'd you do that? Well, it's magic. I can't tell you. I had to pay for what I know. I had to pay Evan to teach me this stuff because Evan knows magic and he's going to teach me how to do magic. And I would be happy if he would because I like a little magic. I don't know about y'all, but I like when people can play something and I can't figure it out, you know, that makes me think. And that's the way they were. It's all, to me, it's all in fun because I'm just looking and wondering, how does he do this? But it's all, at that time, they thought that he had the power of God. You know, years ago, he might have worked for Dickey. I don't know, but there was a preacher they call Rabbi, and he done magic. You remember that? And most of y'all around here that's got any age on you remember that. And he done magic, and it would amaze me the magic that Rabbi could do. And I was all the time hanging out wanting Rabbi to show me how he, where'd that rabbit come from? He got out of that hat. and the dove that flew out of the hat or something of that nature. So, folks, we can be caught up in the world. We can be caught up in all this magic stuff that looks good. The world looks good. But you got to know that the people were hearing, and they had been hearing Simon do this magic and hearing his word, and they called him the great one, and they were thinking that he was the one that had all the power of God until Philip showed up. And when Philip showed up and they got to listening to what Philip had to offer, then they decided that this is the real deal. This is what this is all about. And Simon, he even decided that he believed in what Philip was saying, and he was baptized. Now, think about that, folks. So you got a guy that's got all the attention of all the people until Philip showed up, and then he is the one that's on the back row, and he's thinking, you know, this guy may know more than I do. This guy may have something that I don't have. I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to be baptized. So many times, folks, in the world that we're living in today, we see people every day believing and claiming to believe in Jesus Christ, claiming to believe that they know that Jesus is God's Son. They're baptized a lot of times, and then if you watch, in a year or 2 years, they've walked completely away from the gospel. It did not soak in. It did not ring their bell. They claim to have been a follower of Christ, but they just wasn't. And this is where Simon was, because he claimed to have wanted to know Jesus. He claimed to have, he was baptized. He claimed to be a follower of Christ. But then when we know that when it came down to it, and they began to lay hands upon the people, and the Holy Spirit began to come to these people that had truly desired to know Christ and to know to know what Christ had done for them, that it became something that Simon said, hey, if I could do this, I could make a lot of money. This is the best trick I've seen happen in years. And so they sent Peter and John. And when Peter got there, what had happened? When Peter, back about 2 weeks ago, when we was talking, what had happened when they lied about the money that they got from the land that they sold? Ananias lied to them, and what happened? Struck dead. Bam. He was dead right on the spot. Peter said, you're lying. That's not what you got for the field. That's a lie. When he didn't have to lie, he could have said at the very beginning, I'm not going to give you but 60% of what I get out of this field, and I'll keep 40 and you can have 60, or it could have been the other way around. He didn't have to lie, but he did, and it cost him his life. This is where we're at right here. So Simon, he has decided that he wants to have what Peter and John has. He didn't receive it when Peter laid the hands on him. Because he wasn't a true believer. Folks, you have to believe and know that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You have to believe in Him 100%. You can't believe that the guy doing the magic over here in the corner has got more power than the preacher does, or the one that is telling you about Christ. You got to know who you're dealing with. So Simon says to Peter, he tells him, he said, hey, I'll tell you what, dude, I'd love to be able to buy whatever it is you got. What's it going to cost me if I can get to where that I can lay hands upon people and give them what you have? He didn't understand that it's not for sale. God is not for sale, folks. You cannot buy God. It's never going to be for sale. And so Peter told him, he said, hey, dude, he said, you're not a believer. You're not a true believer. And Simon says, basically what he's saying is, Peter, don't be telling me this stuff, because I don't want happen to me what happened to when they sold the field to Ananias and Sapphira, because I'm not. Please pray for me, Peter. I don't want this to happen to me. Folks, today, I don't know if y'all notice it or not, but I do. I notice it a lot. People will call, I need prayers. I need prayers. That's true. You do need prayers. That's true that you've got a problem that you need to be prayed for. People get on Facebook, and I hear all the time people saying, so-and-so needs prayers. What's going on today? So-and-so needs prayers. That's true. He probably does. I'm not arguing this, but I'm just saying, y'all ever hear this? I need prayers. I need prayers. I need prayers. But look what happened right here. Let's read it one more time. Peter says, repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon exclaimed, that these terrible things you said won't happen to me. What happened right here, folks? What do you see that's taking place? Simon wants Peter to pray for him. We see it every day. We hear people calling us, see it on Facebook, everything. Pray for me. He hasn't even taken time to pray for himself. How many people do you think had asked for prayer each day? How many people have been on their knees and been praying their self for whatever it is they want you to pray for? I bet there's not many, really and truly. It's easy for me to call Brian and say, Brian, you pray for me. I need the prayers. I'm telling you, this is not going well. And I got to run. I got to get out here and do this. I need to be on my knees praying for myself. If Brian wants to help me pray, that's wonderful. But I need to be the one praying and asking for forgiveness. Folks, we don't do it. We think as long as we got a whole family of church family praying for us, everything's going to be okay. Well, it might be. But I'm telling you, you need to repent first of your sin. You need to pray to God yourself, and then I'll help you pray. But we don't do it. We're so confused on what God is. We think God is magic. God is not magic, folks. God loves you more than any person ever will. I love my kids and my grandkids, and I love y'all. I love these kids just like they were mine. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how much I love you, God loves you more. And he's for real. And he's not playing. He's not magic. He wants to hear from you directly. He wants to hear that you have repented of your sin. It's easy to step off the side of the boat and, you know, lose faith like Peter did. If he'd have stayed focused on God, he could have walked right to him. But he didn't. He got all caught up in how bad the wind was blowing. And the waves, how tall the waves were. And he lost his concentration. But he came back to the Lord. It's okay, folks, but you've got to tell God. You got to show him that I desire to be your follower. I desire to be a child of yours more than I desire to be anything else. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for adopting me into your family. I thank you more than anything in the world for me to be able to call you Father, for me to be able to know that I'm your son or daughter. I thank you, Father, that you have adopted me, that I will know I have a place in heaven. Folks, as we wind up, I want you to stop and just think about today being Father's Day. We've all loved our parents. We've all loved our grandparents. A lot of us knew our great-grandparents. We loved them. We loved every one of them. And they loved us. But today, as much as we love our earthly parents and grandparents, our Heavenly Father loves us more. He is the one that we need to be given honor to today. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to be called Father. It's a wonderful thing to be called Granddad, Great-Granddad. I've said Great-Granddad because that's where I'm at. But you know what? Great-Granddad encounters something that I can relate to the Father, my Heavenly Father, with. Because my first great-grandson, my first great-grandson was adopted. And folks, when he came home, I can never tell you how much I loved him. How much I loved him. I didn't know, and I didn't care. I knew, but I didn't care that he didn't have my blood in him. I loved him because of what he was. And he carries a very, very, very special place in my heart, and I always will. That's what God is. He's adopted every one of us. And he loves us. He doesn't care whose blood you got in you. He loves you so much that he gave his son that you could have eternal life. I want you to think about that, folks. I want you to know the love that God has for you, your Heavenly Father. As much as you've been around and much as you've been loved on by different people, I've tried to love on a lot of kids, and I love them all. I love them all. And I hope these kids know that. But no more than I can do. I can only do so much. But God can do it all through His Son, Jesus. Think about that as you hear the story of the gospel moving forward. Take the gospel forward, folks. We're not here just for ourselves. We're not here just to enjoy being here on Sunday morning. We're here to work and do the work that He has sent us to do. We're here to be His disciple. He sent out the disciples, 72 of them, two by two. You know? Remember that story? We're here to be His hands and feet. And it's not that we're going to do anything to earn anything for it. He's not paying me to do that. He's allowing me to do it because He needs me to do it. So think about it, folks. Take this gospel. Tell others about it. And just maybe they'll give up the magic of the world and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son,